Appreciate the songs. I'd like to ask Brother Sanford if he would to have another song ready. I'd like to open the doors of the church this time. And I want to explain briefly how we receive members into the church. First and foremost, by experience and baptism. And I'd like to say this, if you know that you have been saved, you need to be a member of the Lord's church. Amen. You're never going to be able to serve Him properly without becoming a member of His church. And so by experience, that relating your experience of salvation and being baptized, we receive members that way. We also receive members by letter for those who belong to a sister church of like faith and order. You can present yourself for membership, and you can be received into the church by letter from a sister church. Also, at times, there are situations with people where perhaps the church where they were a member has gone out of existence or gone astray, and they would be unable to obtain a letter, and sometimes it's necessary for people to join by statement. And so for those who for disciplinary reasons may have been excluded from the church, then if you will make your acknowledgments and make that known to the church, you can also be restored to the fellowship of the church. So those are the ways basically that we receive members into the church. Church membership, where you belong, I'm a firm believer, ought to be prompted by the Holy Spirit of God. And so while we stand and have a song, if for any under any of these circumstances today, you would like to unite with the church here at Fairview Memorial, we're just going to give you that opportunity. If you'll come up front here with me while we sing, then the church will hear your testimony and your desire and act accordingly.
47. Sweetly, Lord, have we heard Thee calling, come, follow me. And we see where Thy footprints falling lead us to Thee. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus where they go.
We have Sister Sarah Motes has come before the church this morning, and I'm going to ask her if she would to relate to us her experience of salvation and let us know of her desire.
Seeking for peace of my soul from my God, and I've been through many years of problems and heartaches and troubles and trials, and looked in the wrong places for the right answer. But when I looked to my Jesus, that was the right place to look, and He had mercy on me, and He saved my soul, and I have had a wonderful, peaceful, joyous life. Amen. Since then. I became a little bit confused a few months back. And, well, I'll just go ahead and tell the truth about it. When my son-in-law moved across by as a pastor, I thought, well, maybe we can go over there and be with them for a while. We've been members here 16 years and everything is great, but I let that get in my way somehow. And but such a longing to be with my people. These are my people. These are the ones I love, and they're the ones I want to be with. And so I'm asking this church to forgive me and to take me back into the fellowship of this church.
Amen. God bless you, Sister Moats. All right, church, you've heard her testimony and her desire stated here before you. What's the will of the body? All right, I have a motion and second that she be received into the fellowship of the church and grant her all rights and privileges when we receive her letter. Any member of the church here at Fairview Memorial want to speak to the motion? If not, all in favor by a show of hands, please. Is there any opposition? If not, motion carries. God bless you. We'll have a handshake after after service,
okay.
If that's okay. All right.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay.
This is the best church I've ever been to, I do believe. It's wonderful. It's really done a lot for me this past week, I'll tell you. I've had the best 14 days. Well, it started before I came to church because I was thinking about coming to church down here.
I
want to move my membership down here.
Tell us about your experience of salvation.
Oh, it's been a long time ago when I was younger, and then I backslid, and I just, when people would mention church, just kind of blocked it out of my mind, you know.
Can you tell us about what happened when you got saved?
Oh, I felt like an angel. It just felt so good. It was a good feeling.
Where did it happen at?
At Smith Grove Methodist Church.
Can you tell us a little bit more about what happened when the Lord saved you?
Well, it's just like my heart had turned over and was a different heart inside of me. I felt different toward people.
Okay.
And now I really feel different toward people. I never meet a stranger no more. There's nobody that's a stranger to me anymore.
And you know the Lord saved you?
I know the Lord saved me.
Okay. Where's your membership at?
At Glendale Baptist Church.
Okay. All right, church, you've heard her testimony. What's the will of the body? Okay. We can't receive you by letter because that's not a church of like faith and order. If you want to join, you would need to come in by baptism. Is that agreeable? Okay. What's the will of the body? All right. We have a motion and second. Then I'm sorry.
Sir.
What's your name?
Mary Vincent.
Have a motion and second to receive Sister Mary Vincent by baptism. All in favor, or anyone will speak to the motion? If not, all in favor by a show of hands, please. Any opposed? Motion carries. All right, Mary, you can sit down. We'll have a handshake. I have some scripture today that I would like to bring before you from the 8th chapter of the Gospel of John. And if you are here today and you're not saved, I would like to ask you today to give special attention to the things that the Lord has burdened my heart with today, because I would like to talk about the truth, and I'd like to use this for a title, the truth about being lost. And I'd like to read from John chapter 8, beginning with verse 31. John chapter 8, beginning with verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father." They answered and said unto him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus saith unto them, "If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father." They said to him, or then said they to him rather, "We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God." Jesus said unto them, "If God were your Father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." And I want to stop my reading with those verses from John chapter 8, verses 31 through 44. Again, I'd like to state the title of my message being "The Truth About Being Lost." And I would to God today that we would look at reality. And you know, with any situation, it won't ever help anybody to look away from reality, because it's still going to be there. Our looking away from things don't change them. The situation is still the same. And there are many people today in the world that truly don't want to hear the truth. There are people that make up the membership in many of our missionary Baptist churches, I'm afraid, that really don't want to hear the truth about how that we ought to live our lives for the Lord. And the reason that many times that people don't want to hear the truth is because the truth is powerful. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews 4:12 that the Word of God is quick, which means it's alive. and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and of the marrow. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Word of God will get down inside of you. Paul said when he wrote to the Romans, he said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And when the Word of God goes forth and is accompanied by the Holy Spirit, it's a powerful weapon. And it will expose our sins. The Word of God has exposed my sins many times. The Word of God in power exposed my sins when I was lost. And it has many times shown me my weaknesses and my errors since I've been saved. And so, you know, many people shun the truth because of what it does. It shows us what we are. It reveals unto us the righteousness of God and the unrighteousness of people. And so there are many today that, as I've said, don't really want to hear the truth. They'd rather not hear it. Many of those would rather be like those that listened to Stephen that day. And the Bible says they stopped their ears. They plugged up their ears so that they wouldn't hear what he was saying because it bothered them. But Jesus said that the truth shall make you free. And he also said, and to clarify what he was talking about, he said the Son shall make you free. And listen, when Jesus sets you free, you are free indeed. Never again to be in bondage. But I want you to know today that it's a horrible thing to be lost. Jesus spoke to these people here in these scriptures that were read. Jesus spoke to these unbelieving Jews, and he said that they were talking to him about, well, we're Abraham's seed, we're Abraham's children. And because of their unbelief, Jesus told them the truth. He said, you're children of the devil. Your father, your spiritual father is the devil, and you're his children, and the lust of your father you will do. And I want you to know today that if you're here and you're lost, that you too are a child of the devil. Everyone that's lost falls into the same category of being children of the devil. And what an alarm that ought to be to your heart. I mean, what fear ought to be wrought in your soul that you are actually a child of the devil, that you are lost and separated from the love and the mercy of God. Now, oftentimes, we hear the statement made that there are people that are lost, but they're not convicted. And I want to tell you what I think about that. I believe that that is intended, or the way that it is meant, and I sure don't want to presuppose anybody. If you mean something different, then that's between you and the Lord. But I believe when that's said, that people are saying that there are people that are lost, but they're not concerned about their lost condition. If you have been convicted of your sins, and God has shown to you and made it clear to you that you're lost, that is the only time that's ever going to happen. We do not control conviction. The Holy Spirit controls conviction. And so we cannot say that if people are lost, we cannot say that they're not convicted, because that would be the same thing as saying that the Holy Spirit hasn't done His work. Jesus said He will do it. He will reprove. He will reprove, which means convict. The Holy Spirit will convict people of their sins. If God has shown to you that you're lost, you have been convicted by the Holy Spirit, and you are lost, and you're just as lost now as you ever will be lost. But I do believe that there are times that people are not concerned about being lost. And I think oftentimes that happens, that people just lose fact of the reality of the situation. And let me say this, that you're never going to be saved until you know that you're lost. But once you know that you're lost and without God, you need to make haste to be saved. Friends, I'm telling you today that life is extremely short. James tells us that it is even as a vapor, that it appeareth for a little time and then it vanishes away. And if you look in James chapter 4, verse 14, you'll find that those very words, that life is even as a vapor. And if you don't understand that, and I think probably everybody does, but if you just think about a vapor that rises up, steam is something that produces a vapor. If you just look at a vapor, it rises up and then it disappears and it's gone just that quickly. And that's what our life is described as, a vapor. And so life is very short. And I hope today, if you're lost, I hope that you understand how small of a window of opportunity that you truly have to get things right with God. Because your chances are soon going to be gone. And you know, none of us understand, none of us have the knowledge of how long that we're going to be on the earth. Friends, people die and leave the world at all ages. I mean, they just, you know, there are people that have woke up today and they're not going to think anything about it whatsoever. It's not going to cross their mind at all. But before this day is finished, they're going to be gone from the world. There's people that die lost and in their sins every single day. And you need to understand that God is no respecter of persons. I believe that God will give and grant an opportunity for people to seek Him, but you need to take advantage of it, because when God gets ready to call, He's going to call and we're going to answer. Job made it plain. He said, He will call and I will answer. And one day the call to death, I'm well aware of the fact that one day that call to death is going to come to me. And when God calls me, I'm going to answer Him and I'm going to obey and I'm going to go. And you're going to do the very same thing when God calls you into the dust of death one day. You're going to hear and answer and obey that call, and you're going to go without choice of your own. Very limited opportunity. You may hear oftentimes on the television, or you may read in the newspaper about a certain product that's being marketed, and they tell you how good of a deal that they're willing to give you. You know, if you buy this right now, you can get X amount of dollars off. You know, you can get a big discount and save X amount of dollars. And then they put this little, disclosure down there that says limited time offer. Well, folks, let me tell you something today. If you are here and you're lost, God is offering to you the greatest thing that you could possibly have, and that is eternal life. He is saying, come to me, seek me, come and seek me with all your heart, and you can come to know me, and you can have eternal life. But don't make any mistake about it. What God is offering you is a limited time offer, and it's not always going to be available. You know, there's a truth, a very sad truth, that's revealed to us in the Scriptures. And this is what it is. That of all of the people in this world, and despite all that God has done in order for people to be saved, despite the fact that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, despite the fact that God sent His Son into the world to suffer the things that He suffered and to die even the cruel death of the cross there at Calvary, and despite all of the goodness and the mercy that God has shown towards people in order for them to be able to be saved, yet the larger percentage of people are going to pass through the scene of time. They're going to live their lives and they're going to die and leave this world without God. The Bible has already taught us that. If you look in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, Jesus said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." And you know, the sad part of it is that it's even through religion that more and more people all the time are on the broad path that leads to destruction. The gate that you're going to have to pass through in order to be saved, Jesus said it's narrow. The way that leads to life is narrow. And you know, when you think of something that's broad and wide as opposed to something that's being narrow, naturally it's easier to go through the wide gate than it is the narrow gate. Listen, we hear all the time about the simplicity that's in the Scriptures. And you know what? I do believe that God's plan of salvation is simple. It's simple. But it's not easy to get saved, is it? I mean, it's a struggle. It's a struggle to give in to God. It's a struggle to let go of yourself. It's a struggle to give up yourself and let go to where God takes control of the situation, because salvation is of the Lord. And it's only in God's power, only through Him can you be saved. Jesus also said in Luke chapter 13, I believe it is recorded, He said, "Strive to enter in at the straight gate, because many will seek to enter and shall not be able." Let me say here today, if you're lost, I hope that none of you are among those that won't be able to enter in. Why? Why will that happen to people? Why will they strive, or seek rather, to enter in and not be able? Well, I'll tell you what I believe about it. It's because that's all they do is seek, and they never get to the place where they strive to enter in. Listen, if you come to the Lord for salvation And I pray that you will. You know, God's will for everybody is that they would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. God made a plan of salvation for everybody. I want the church here at Fairview Memorial to know where I stand on this. I don't believe the theory that has been promoted for many years now that God designed His plan of salvation for a certain number of people. I don't believe that. I don't believe that holds water with the Scriptures. God made a plan of salvation that He said, whosoever will can come and take of the water of life freely. I don't believe in a limited atonement. I don't believe for one minute that when Jesus shed His blood on the cross of Calvary, that He only poured it out for people that had been predestinated from the beginning, from past eternity to be saved. I believe that Jesus shed His blood on Calvary for everybody to have the opportunity to come to Him and be saved. If you're here today and you're lost, the Lord Jesus Christ died for your sins. He suffered on the cross and died for your sins. He made a way that you can be saved no matter what type of lifestyle that you come from, no matter what type of culture that you come from, no matter what color that people are, or no matter where they live, Jesus made a way for all people to come to Him and be saved. Peter told us, the Apostle Peter told us, that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If you die lost and in your sins, you're going to do so contrary to the will of God. You'll never be able to stand before Him one day in judgment and say, well, God, I guess it was your will that this happened to me. No, God is not willing that any perish. Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, God will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Listen, you know, it amazes me sometimes the things that people will take and the things that people will refuse. If you offer somebody a good bargain on something that's material, people seem to just jump all over it. I mean, I told somebody one time in the way that things are marketed, I believe if somebody designed an electric dog polisher that people would buy it just in order to have it. I mean, it doesn't make any difference what it is. You know, if somebody has something that you can touch that's tangible, I mean, they want it. I've got to have one of those. And people will go to great extremes to get them. But you know, God stands at all times with His arms spread wide open. And He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'm going to tell you something. God has got the best thing for you today that you could ever have. And it doesn't cost anything. Jesus already paid for it. He already paid the price, lost friend. He made the way for you to come to God and know Him in a pardon and forgiveness of sin. And I want you to know this truth today, that if you shun that, if you turn that away, if you shun that gift that God has given, He's not going to take it kindly when you stand before Him and face Him one day, because it cost Him too much. It cost Him dearly. I'll tell you what I believe about salvation. If there would not have been anybody but me that needed it, if I would have been the only one in the whole world that needed to be saved,
I still believe the Lord would have died for my sins. The Bible says all we like sheep have gone astray. And that's how personal salvation is to me. I believe he died for me. I believe he died for you, but I believe he died for me. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Friends, listen, you've got a hand. If you're lost, all of us have faced the same thing. You've got a hand in the crucifixion of the very Son of God. You've got a responsibility in the Son of God being put to death, because it was because of your sins and my sins that he was nailed to the cross, and that he suffered, and that he died there, the cruel death that he died. And God is going to hold you ultimately responsible for that very thing. You know, I wish today that I had the words. I wish that I could tell you, but I can't. I wish that I could tell you what it really will be like for people one day when they have to stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lost and without God. I can't even describe to you what that'll be like. But I want you to know this. I want you to know this truth today, lost soul. There's just a breath. I don't know how many here have witnessed people die. I've seen it several times. I don't know how many of you have stood and watched somebody when they left the world. But I'll tell you what I've been reminded of every time it happens, that there's just a single breath between us and eternity. That's all. I was standing at the side of the bed when my earthly father left this world, and he was towards the end. He was struggling to breathe, and then all of a sudden he let out that last breath and he just got still and he stopped breathing and went home to be with the Lord. And that was it. You don't realize how frail that you really are. We think we've got a handle on life. Listen, God's got the handle on life. God is controlling life. Listen to me, lost soul. Every time your heart beats, God made it happen. Every time your lungs take in air, God made it happen. Every time you draw that breath, it comes from God. Because Paul said when he preached there at Mars Hill to the men of Athens, he said, God giveth life and breath to all. It's God that controls that. God will control your days. God will control every moment that you live. God will give you every breath. And God has the eternal right to make it stop anytime that he's ready. I don't worry about dying. I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't worry about dying because I know I'm saved. And I know that my life is in the hands of God. And I told him years ago, I made my resolve with him years ago, and I told the Lord, I said, when you get ready, so am I. And I laid that down at his feet and I left it there. And when God gets ready, so am I. But when I was lost, I didn't feel that way. I didn't feel that way at all. The thought of death was a horrid thing to me. In the scriptures, in the 16th chapter of Luke, we have a reality there. We have an account. Jesus gave us an account of two men that lived on the earth. One was a rich man. One was a poor beggar named Lazarus. And the rich man, the Bible says, he fared sumptuously every day. And the beggar was full of sores, and he laid there at the gate, and he just desired the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. And the Bible says that Lazarus died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And it says the rich man died also and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and he saw Lazarus afar off, comforted in the bosom of Abraham. Listen, if you're lost, if God has shown to you that you are lost, if God has convicted you of your sinful condition and made you realize that you are lost and separated from Him, I want you to know something, friends. The verdict is in. Judgment has been passed. You're going to hell. And the only one that can change it is God. You know what the Bible tells me in John chapter 3 about verse 17 or 18? It says, he that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned, which means judged. He that believeth not is condemned already. Right now, the verdict has already been handed down. You have been judged, and you're on your way to hell right now. And that ought to alarm you more than anything else in life ever will. These men died. One of them was ready, and one of them wasn't. And we studied this morning in our Sunday school lesson about Gehenna, which when the Bible talks about hellfire, that's what it's talking about. Gehenna, that place there, the valley of Tophet, the valley of Hinnom there, where they would take and burn. Even oftentimes they would throw in that valley the dead carcasses of beasts in there. And if you stood around that pit there in the valley of Hinnom, you would see the fire and the smoke raising up, and it would just be a place of putrefaction. There would have been an awful stench there in that place, and that's what Jesus was talking about when he talked about the hell of fire. And listen, friends, hell is real. It exists. It's a place that the Bible says was prepared for the devil and his angels. And what a terrible place to be headed for. A place where you will be eternally separated for all of eternity, forever and forever. You'll be separated from God's love. You'll be separated from His mercy. You'll be separated from His grace. You'll be separated from any opportunity to ever again be saved. The rich man was tormented in these flames. Bible says in Revelations 12 or 14, I believe, if I've got the chapters right. But I know what it says. It says, the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and forever. The rich man said, send Lazarus, that he may just dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in these flames. Think about it. Here was a man that during his lifetime had everything he wanted. Fared sumptuously every day, the Bible said. He had everything he wanted to eat. He had everything he wanted to drink. You know, water, no doubt water, or whatever he had was drinking mostly in that day, probably wine. But whatever he drank, he had plenty of it. And suddenly we find this man there in the torments of hell. And he's saying, could you just have enough mercy on me just to send Lazarus just to wet the tip of his finger in water and come and place it on my tongue? Friends, listen, if you're thirsty, if your mouth is dried out, if you take a little bit of water on the tip of your finger, you know that that's not going to quench your thirst. But this man was just in such misery and torment, he said, could I just get a little drop of water to cool my tongue? But he didn't get it. I want you to know something. God offers you today eternal life. And you can have it. But if you come to Him, you better come striving to enter in. You better come seeking Him with everything you've got if you're going to enter in. If you come to God, because the Bible says that it's with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. If you come to God with half your heart, He'll know it. If you come to Him halfway trusting God, He'll know it, because He knows your heart. You come to the Lord and take advantage of the opportunity that He's giving you, but you've got to come to Him with everything. You've got to fully trust Him. You've got to want to be saved. Friends, listen, you've got to want it more than you want life here on earth itself. You've got to want it with all your heart. God won't turn you away if you come that way. I want you to know something. I want you to understand this. If you've ever come seeking and you haven't found, it's not because God doesn't want you. It's not because God will refuse you. It's because you haven't fully come to Him yet and gave it up to Him. That's what you've got to do. You've got to strive to enter in. And God can help you to do that. But your life is going to pass you by swiftly. When I was a young man, I would just flat out tell you that I think I was maybe 17 or 18 years old, and I had this in my head, and I would just tell you, I'll never live past 40. I mean, that was, for some reason, that's just what I thought. I'll never live past 40. I'll die before I ever reach the age of 40. Well, I'm 51 now. Only God knows, doesn't He? You may think you're going to live to be 70. Only God knows that. You may think you're going to live throughout the days of this revival meeting. Only God knows that. What you know, and all that you can know, is that you have the opportunity right now to seek after God for salvation. And that's all that you know. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. The Bible says, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. I was a child of the devil the first 18 years of my life. Thank God that He adopted me into His family through the new birth, and He'll do the same for you. He will do the same for you. I'd like for us to have a song.
I hope if you're here today and you're lost, I hope that God will take this message, however feeble the effort has been, I hope that He'll take this message and cause you to realize just how desperate of a condition you're in. I mean, it's dangerous, friends, to be lost. It can be eternally dangerous and detrimental to be lost. Let's stand and sing.
Careless soul, why will you linger, wandering from the fold of God? Hear ye not the invitation? Oh, prepare to meet thy God. Careless soul,
make your preparations to meet Him.
Oh, heed the warning, for you lie.
How sad to face the judgment without God. What a horrible thing.
To meet thy God. Why so thoughtless are you standing while the fleeting years go by and your life is spinning folly? Oh, prepare to meet thy God. Careless soul, oh, heed the warning, for your life will soon be gone. Oh, how sad to face the judgment and softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals He's waiting and watching, watching for you. Time now is fleeting, the moments are passing, passing from you and from me. Shadows are gathering, death beds are coming, coming for you and for me. Come home, come home. You are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home. Oh, bottom of the page, 392. Almost persuaded now to believe, almost persuaded Christ to receive. Seems now some soul to say, go, Spirit, go thy way, some more convenient day on thee I'll call. Almost persuaded, come, come today. Almost persuaded, turn.
Let's all have prayer with these that are lost, these that are seeking. Let's have prayer with them.
107. I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, He kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for His own. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus. I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus. Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. He is a kind, compassionate friend. If I but ask Him, He will deliver, make up my troubles quickly and end. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus. Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. Oh, how the world to evil allures me. Oh, how my heart is tempted to sin. I must tell Jesus, and He will help me over the world the victory to win. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus. Jesus can help me. Just as I am without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come, just as I am and waiting on to rid my soul of one dark blood, to Thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come, just as I am, Thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because Thy promise I believe, O Lamb
I'm always concerned, I guess, about saying or doing anything that would be a hindrance. But I think back to the night that I got saved, and I was seeking God so earnestly that I think you could have beat a drum in my ear and I wouldn't have, it wouldn't have distracted me. I wanted to be saved that bad. So I think we're going to have a dismissal of the service here. I want to encourage these who are seeking to stay until you're finished. And I do need to announce that last week there was an announcement made that we have someone here at the church that needs some help, and that we were going to take up a special offering to help them, and we're going to do that, as we said. I'm going to ask Brother Sanford and Brother Copas and Brother Hayes if they would. These three brethren will be at the doors. If you have something that you would like to give as you go out to help in that way, then please do so. Remember the service tonight at 6 o'clock. Pray for Brother Wright. He's scheduled to preach. The preacher brethren and I met last night at Brother Wright's house, and we had prayer, and we all were in agreement there that if God takes over the services and none of us preach, that would be okay too. We just want the Lord to have His way. But Brother Wright is scheduled to preach tonight, and you remember him in your prayers. And I'm planning to be here tonight at about 5:15. If there's anybody that would like to meet here early and pray, then I'm planning to be here at about 5:15 this evening for that purpose. So we'll dismiss the service and continue it from there as God would have us to. So thank you for coming. Remember, services throughout the week, at least we're scheduled till at least through Thursday night. So remember the services at 7 o'clock throughout the week. So stand together. Brother Mike, would you please pray the benediction?
Yes, God.